morning, everyone. Happy Sunday morning to you. This is the Lord's Day, and we are so glad to be able to join together with you in worship. We want to welcome everyone who's joining us via the internet. We consider you a part of our New Life Church family, and it's so wonderful to be able to connect together, at least through the internet, with the family of God. And it reminds us that even though we may be separated, we are not isolated. We are not alone. We are a part of the family of God. If you're tuning in this morning, I just want to encourage you, leave us a comment, say hi, tell us how you're doing. We want to hear from you. So please just check in with us, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube. Just leave us a comment. Let us hear from you. I might not be able to respond to you right now, of course, because we're in the service, but I do go back through and look through all the comments and pray for you all when you put needs up there. So please just leave us a comment. Let us know how you are doing. And we encourage you right now to share the live stream on your Facebook page. Right now, just hit that share button so that your friends and family members can have the opportunity to join in with us as well. Better yet, start a watch party. And that way you can watch and interact with your family and with your friends. Everybody needs the hope and the comfort that can be found only in the Lord. So let's give them that opportunity to be ministered to as well by sharing the live stream on your Facebook page or social media account, and that way it extends the reach of the gospel to many more people. Be a social media evangelist. Even though our doors may be closed, our mission hasn't changed. Every one of us, Jesus has commanded us to share the good news with everybody. And this is one way that we can do that, by sharing the live stream on our Facebook page. So invite your friends and family members to join you in worship right now. We're so glad to be able to be gathering together with you today to worship the Lord. And as we open our service, I want to open with Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4. The scripture says, "Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth." That includes you. "Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs." I want you to see that worshiping the Almighty God of the universe should not be quiet, ritualistic, and lifeless. It should be loud. It should be filled with joy. It should be celebratory. It is the most wonderful thing to be able to worship our great God and our King. You know, some people get turned off by loud praise, but it doesn't bother them when they go to a sporting event or to a concert and everybody is up, you know, raising their hands and screaming their head off for a person or a band or a team. Our God is greater than any football team, greater than any musician or singer. He is the incredible and amazing God of the universe, and he loves it when we praise him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So let's make some noise. Let's make some noise for the Lord. Right there at home, get up on your feet right now. You don't have to worry about what anybody around you is going to think, but make a noise unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord with joyful praise this morning. He is worthy of all of our praise. So let's lift our voices in worship to him. We're going to open in prayer, and then we're going to move into worship. Lift your voice as we invite him here with our prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father and our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are worthy of all of our praise today. So we lift our voices up to celebrate you. You are great and greatly to be praised. There is no other God besides you. You have done great things, and your works are marvelous in our eyes. We praise and magnify your name, O Lord. We welcome your presence in our lives and in our homes today. Let your presence fill the room where we have come to worship you. Be manifest to every person joining in this service today. Have your way in us. Let your kingdom come in power. Let your will be done here on earth in our lives, even as it is in heaven. Let us be changed by this time in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. We're glad to have a small portion of our worship team here with us this morning. So let's lift our voices. Let's shout unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to Him as we praise and worship the Lord together.
Hallelujah. Jesus is King. We lift the name of Jesus today. Hallelujah. You are worthy of the highest praise. You are a good and a victorious King. And as your people, we lift our voices today to worship you in spirit and in truth, to declare that you are good, to declare that you are the healer, to declare that you are the Savior, the only hope of the world. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. And together we sing.
Everyone
sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord. The earth is filled with His glory. It is rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It is rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It is rising up. All around is the anthem of the Lord's renown. It is rising up. All around is the anthem of the Lord's renown. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory.
The praise, hallelujah. The earth is filled with His glory. No one, nothing like Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords forever. Hallelujah. We invite you, Holy Spirit, in this place and in every home that is watching us right now, because what we need is more of you. What we need is more of Jesus. This nation needs is more of you. You are the only answer to this crisis. You are the only one that can set us free, that can restore us. And You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. And Lord, we are asking for an outpouring of your Spirit, for a move of your Spirit in revival, oh Lord, that you would visit every home, every family, from the youngest to the oldest, oh Lord, with your Spirit, with the anointing, oh Lord, of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We need a move.
Holy Spirit, we are calling out on you.
We need
power to see
the moon.
Oh, we need a move of you, God. What we need
we
is
need
more
a
of
moon.
You. What we need is more of you.
We need a move.
What we need is more of you, Holy Spirit.
We need a
move. Oh, have your way and draw us closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wait on you. We wait on you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you will overflow this place. That you overflow our homes today. Every place that is watching us, that is hearing our voice. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill every sense of loneliness and isolation with your unconditional agape love. We pray for those that are feeling lonely and downcast. Oh Lord, we ask that you would surround us with your love today, oh Lord. Because you are the reason that we have come together in this transmission. To encounter your love, to encounter your grace. And we ask, let your love surround everyone that is watching. Those that are here in this building and those that are watching us through this transmission. Oh, Father, we pray that you would surround them in your loving arms. That you would embrace them and cover them with your grace. Let them know that you are not alone, Jesus. But that you are with us in this valley. Guiding us, leading us, and providing for our needs. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. We love you back, oh God. We love you so much. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us today. We need your presence more than the air that we breathe. Let your kingdom come and your will be done here as it is in heaven, oh God. In the name of Jesus, have your way.
The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Declare that again. The atmosphere is changing. I sense a change in the atmosphere in this place. There is a change in the atmosphere in your home right now. The Holy Spirit is filling your space with His anointing.
The evidence is all around. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here.
A miracle can happen now.
A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Overflow
in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us.
Spirit, fill us afresh right now in the name of Jesus. We need your presence, oh Jesus. We need you, Lord.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on.
Fresh this day.
Spirit.
Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. There is an anointing. There is an anointing in this place. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to fill you afresh. Fill you with a fresh anointing this day. To empower us for His work.
Here as in heaven.
Spirit.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence.
Hallelujah.
Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven.
Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We welcome your presence right now. Let your presence overflow, not only in this place, but in every place where someone has stopped this morning to tune in and worship you. Let your presence be made manifest. Hold them fast in the embrace of your love, Lord God. Let the closeness of your presence be made so very real to them this morning, O God. And Father, we thank you that wherever your presence is, miracles are possible. Because you are a miracle-working God. We thank you, Lord, that there is nothing that you cannot do. We love and we worship you this morning. And we invite you have your way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in each of our lives today. Hallelujah to your name.
Yes.
We're going to go before the Lord in prayer right now. And as we do, if you have a need, I want to encourage you to raise your hand right where you are. And let us agree together in prayer with you. As we pray this morning, we want to remember Evelyn Casanova. Her husband, Tony, one of our longtime members, went to be with the Lord this week. And we want to pray God's comfort and grace to be with her this morning. We also want to pray for one of our missionaries, Terry and Fred Sanchez in Guatemala. They asked prayer because the situation is dire in Guatemala with the coronavirus. There's been a shutdown, complete shutdown. People are not allowed to leave their homes, but not only so, there is a dire shortage of food and incredible poverty down there, and people are starving. And so we need to pray for this situation this morning. And if you have a need in your life, would you just stretch your hand towards heaven right now? And that's just an expression of faith as you reach out to God. And we're going to believe the Lord together with you this morning to just minister and touch your life. Lift up your voices before the Lord right now and let us agree together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God, so very grateful that you love us, that you hear us when we cry. Thank you, Lord, that you are a prayer answering God, that you delight to show yourself mighty towards those who trust in you, Lord God. Father, as we gather together, we join our faith in one accord this morning as touching every need that is represented before you at this hour. Father, you look down this morning and you see every hand that is upraised before you. We pray that you would just release your mighty power to work in their lives. We pray for those that are sick, Lord God. Father, we pray even now that your healing virtue would flow towards them, Lord God, that you would touch them in their body, that you would restore health, strength, vitality, that you would curse all manner of sickness and disease, and that you would command it to depart from them today in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those facing financial difficulties. Maybe they've lost their job, they're struggling financially. Father, we are praying that you would make a way for them, that you would open doors before them, that you would supply their need, Lord God. Father, we don't know how you will do it, but we ask you that you would do it, Lord God. Open your hand and supply their need. Father, there are other situations that people are facing, Lord God, that they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn, Lord God, but we look to you this morning. You are the miracle working God. Work a miracle in their life. We pray for those this morning that are anxious, that are fearful. They may be having trouble sleeping, Lord God. We pray for those that are lonely tonight in this isolation, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just embrace them with your presence right now, Lord God, and that your peace that passes all understanding would fill their minds and their hearts, and that your love and your presence would comfort their hearts. Father, we especially gather this morning to pray for Evelyn, Lord God. We lift her before you, Lord. Your word says that you are the God of all comfort. Father, we pray that you would minister your peace to her heart. Father, we know that she has a steadfast hope in you, that Tony is in your presence because he loved and served you. Father, we just pray that you would uplift her, that you would strengthen her, and that you would comfort her during this time. Father, as we gather this morning, we are lifting up our missionaries, the Sanchez family, and we are lifting up the nation of Guatemala before you, Lord God. Father, you are a God that is filled with compassion and mercy towards those who are suffering. And I know even this morning your heart breaks for people who are starving, Lord God, and who are suffering as a result of this disease. Father, we pray that you would have mercy on Guatemala, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would have mercy on each person that is struggling and suffering this morning, oh God. We don't know how you can work, Lord God, but we know that you can work. And so we're asking you that you would make a way, that you would stay the hand of this disease, that you would somehow supply the needs of all of these people, Lord God. And Father, be with our missionaries, strengthen them, give them wisdom, Lord God, and use them during this hour. Protect them and safeguard them, Lord God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Once again, we just want to welcome everybody who is joining us this morning, because we need the encouragement of worship and the word and the connection with the family of God now more than ever. We just want to update you on what's going on and how we can remain spiritually connected during these difficult times. We want to let you know that we are keeping informed about the progression of what's happening with the coronavirus and the different openings. South Florida is just now this week, Monday, for most places in South Florida, going into phase one of reopening. And that means that the limit of no gatherings of 10 or more are still in force in phase one. Phase two, there will be limits on gatherings of no more than 50 people. It's not until phase three that it's opened up to gatherings of 250. And so we cannot really look to reopening until we get to phase three. And so, of course, you know, they're in phase one now, and they have to watch and make sure that there's not an increase in infection rate, et cetera, before they can move to phase two. But we are keeping abreast of it, and we are making our plans for when the time does eventually come where we can reopen. We do want to let you be aware that when we reopen, church will not look like it did before. What do I mean by that? I mean that we will still all need to wear masks. Masks will be required. Your temperatures will be checked when you come into the church. And then every other row in the sanctuary will be taped off to allow for 6 foot social distancing within the sanctuary. And there are some other measures with disinfectant and what have you that we will be taking. But we just want to begin to prepare you that church is not going to be the way that we expect it to be immediately. As everybody has been saying, even with going into a mall or a restaurant, there's a new normal, and we have to get used to the new normal, because unfortunately coronavirus appears that it's going to be with us for some time. And so we have to get used to this new normal. But when we are able, because your safety and your health are paramount to us, and when we are able to safely reopen, and the laws also allow us to reopen, then we will take the necessary measures to do so. And so we ask that you be praying for us as we devise our plans for reopening, and we're going to do our very best to keep everybody safe when we do. When we do reopen, we are going to continue to live stream. And that's because not everybody's going to feel comfortable coming out right away. And so we want to give them the option to be able to join in worship with us from home, because as many faith leaders and even political leaders are talking, you know, people are afraid. There is a palpable and founded fear. It's a real fear of getting infected. And so some people will not be coming out right away, and we understand that. So we want to provide opportunity for them to continue to worship with us. Anyhow, we had plans of doing live stream into the future, and so we're going to keep doing that no matter what. So we just want to let you be aware that we are thinking about reopening, we are devising plans, and we are keeping tuned to everything that's happening. So we just want to keep you aware of that. We do want to make our church family aware that one of our founding members, Tony Casanovas, went to be with the Lord this past Wednesday. He had just finished watching our live stream, got in the car to go to the store, and had a heart attack, and it appears as if he died instantly. And so Tony was very well loved. He was a member of our church for almost 29 years and involved in so many ministries and very well loved. So we want to let you be aware of that. And we will be live streaming his memorial service this Friday evening at 7 p.m. And you can tune into it just like you tune in to any of our church services. And our deepest sympathies go out to Evelyn Casanovas, his wife, and also to Tony's family. And we want you to know that you are in our prayers. We want to remind everybody that we are live streaming several times a week to be able to continue ministering to you through these times. Our live stream is available both on Facebook and YouTube, and now also on the church website. You can tune in any of those portals and be able to watch our service. Later, it's also available on Vimeo and by podcast on Podbean as well as Apple Podcasts. So many different avenues for people to be able to access our services so that we can maximize the reach of our ministry to as many people as possible, giving them different points of entry to our services. Our Sunday services, as you know, are at 11 a.m. We also have children's ministry by Zoom with our children's ministry director, Josie Marrero. And if you have kids or grandkids or friends who have kids and you want them to be able to access the Zoom meeting, you can contact our church office at church office@nl-fl.org, or you can direct message Josie Marrero and she will get you the access information for Zoom. We encourage you to tune in this evening at 6:30 p.m. for an intimate time of worship at home with Pastor Anna and Joyce, and I believe she's continuing her series about being drenched for destiny, and I know it's going to be a powerful time in the Word, in worship, and in prayer. Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., we continue our prayer time with our pastoral staff. We bring a time of worship, a time of the Word, and then a time of intercessory prayer that is guided through the Scripture. And so we encourage you to join us this Wednesday evening. Also Thursdays at 7:30 p.m., Pastor Anna with a few of our worship team members hosts a time of prophetic worship and prayer. So we encourage you to take advantage of all these wonderful times of ministry to uplift and encourage your spirit, and invite your friends and family members to join with us as well. Just like and follow the New Life Assembly Facebook page or subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you will be notified the moment that we go live and you'll be able to tune in. We encourage you to keep checking our Facebook page for updates and information. That's how the main way that we're able to get information out to our congregation right now. So please like our Facebook page. Also want to remind you, Pastor Chris is hosting times of ministry for our youth and young adults, youth on Monday afternoons and young adults on Tuesday. If you fit in either of those categories, please contact our church office or Pastor Chris directly, and he will get you the access information for Zoom so that you can be a part of those wonderful times. Life groups have also moved onto Zoom. We have several wonderful life groups that being offered. If you'd like to be a part of that, again, you can contact the church office. The videos on our Facebook page, if you scroll down after the service, you can see the videos for the various life groups that we're offering on Zoom. See which one interests you, and then we encourage you to contact us and we will get you the Zoom access information. Life is better when we do it together, and these life groups are not just about studying the Bible, but the wonderful connections that we make with other believers that help to encourage and support us in life's journey. So we're excited about these great opportunities to connect the body of Christ and continue to grow together in the Lord. And again, we are certainly fulfilling our church vision to be a church not contained within walls, because if there's one thing that this virus has taught us is that the church is not a building. Amen. The church is a people who are loving the Lord, who are serving the Lord, and who are reaching out to others to make Jesus known. We hope that we'll be able to be together in the near future. But until then, we're continuing to minister, we're continuing to grow in the Lord, and we're continuing to reach out to others by whatever means are possible. We do miss the wonderful fellowship with the family of God. We miss your wonderful hugs and your shining faces and the great chats that we have when we get together. In the meantime, we send you our deepest love and tell you that we miss you. We want to continue to minister to you and your needs. If you have any prayer requests, leave them in the comments or call the church office. Our staff is working from home, but you can leave a message or email us at churchoffice@nl-fl.org, and we will have a team of prayer warriors that will be praying for you. Amen. We're going to get ready now to worship the Lord with our giving, and I want to just read a passage of scripture to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving. If you'd read with me, if you will, Psalm 84. If you've got your Bible, take it out right now. Turn to Psalm 84, and we're going to be reading verses 11 and 12. So Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. The scripture says, "For the Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." Oh, if you've got a pen or a pencil or shoe polish or lipstick or a highlighter, whatever you've got, underline that sentence right there. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Oh, Lord of heavens, what joy for those who trust in you. Hallelujah. What joy for those who trust in you. See, in this passage, the psalmist presents a beautiful picture of God's blessing in the life of believers who are living rightly. He speaks of five characteristics of God's blessing. He says, "The Lord is our sun." What is the sun? It's a light. And light dispels darkness. Light comforts. Light warms. Light gives life. He says that God gives grace. And it's his grace that saves us. It is his grace that sustains us through life's struggles. And it is his grace that supplies to us everything that we need for life and godliness. And then it says that he gives glory. What is glory? It's that crown. It's that reward that God gives for the life of righteousness. And then it says that he is our all-sufficiency. It says he will withhold no good thing from them that do rightly or live rightly. These are wonderful blessings that God desires to bestow on all of his people who live rightly. He desires that no one of his children will lack for any good thing. The only condition to receive all of these wonderful blessings is that we would live rightly, that we would follow his ways, that we would live a life of faith and obedience, doing what is right in the sight of God. And giving our tithes and our offerings is something that we do that is right in the sight of God. Now, giving our tithes and our offerings, they don't make us righteous, but they are the fruit of righteousness. If we're living rightly, if we're living a life to please God, then this is one of the things that he told us pleases him. And so it is an act of obedience. When we are right with God and have a heart to do his will and please him, we will joyfully worship him with our tithes and offerings. And when we give, we demonstrate our faith and obedience, and we stand on his promise that he delights to bless his people and that he will withhold no good thing from us. God is prepared to bless us today. God is prepared to bless you today. Are we preparing to receive his blessing by joyfully worshiping him with our tithes and offerings, expecting our blessing as we give in faith? So let's worship the Lord with faithful obedience, even in these challenging times. Through your faithful and generous giving, we are able to continue ministering locally and also spreading the gospel around the world through our missionaries. We support over 50 missionary families. We partner together with them financially on a monthly basis. And just this past week, we received an email from one of our missionary families that we support in North India, the Roland family. And Christians in India make up less than 3% of the population. The largest religious groups, as many of you know, in India are Hindus and Muslims. So it is a very challenging area to minister. But they had just planted a church in North India. And in January, they planted the church, and they had three people that had started attending, which is good progress in an area that is such a stronghold of pagan religions. And so they had three people that had started attending. But when the shutdown came during coronavirus, and they said it's a military shutdown, if you walk outside your house, you will be arrested. And so when the shutdown came, of course, they had to shut down their meetings, and they had to move online with podcasting their services. And now, 3 months later, they have 30 people tuning in regularly on their podcast. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. God is glorifying his name even in the midst of these challenges, and his kingdom is advancing. But this is made possible because of your giving. Because of your giving, we are able to partner together with all of these missionaries who are ministering throughout the world. Amen. And stories like that are happening virtually every week because of your faithfulness and giving. So let's worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings right now. I worship the Lord right before the service with my giving by texting this morning my tithes as well as my offering. And so it's very simple, it's easy, and it's secure. I just save the text number to my phone, and it just takes a matter of seconds. When I'm ready to give, I just pull that up in my messages app and just text the amount that I need to give. If you're giving to tithes and offerings, you just text any amount. So if you're giving $25, just put 25. If you're giving $50, 50. You don't need any decimals, and that's all you need to do to text to that number. If you're giving for the first time, they're going to send you a link. Just click on that link, follow it, enter your payment information. After that, you're good to go. Just save the number to your phone. If you're giving to the building fund or missions, just text the amount followed by the word building or the word missions if you're giving to missions. If you would prefer, rather than text giving, we also have the option of giving online. All you need to do is go to our website, nl-fl.org, click on the Give tab, and it will take you to a page that shows you the options for giving. There on that page, you will see that you can give through Purpose Gateway, which is the same service provider that we use for text giving, but this is their online part. And you can give that way, or you can give through PayPal, whichever is more convenient for you. But those options are spelled out for you on the Give tab. If you're not comfortable with electronic giving, then of course you can always mail your offerings into the church. So we have many different ways that you can worship the Lord with your giving. So right now, where you are, as you give, I encourage you just to lift your phone before the Lord. If you're using text giving, if you're giving online, just touch your tablet or your computer, and we are going to declare by faith God's promises over our life. Now remember, we can only claim his promises when we're living rightly, when we're living in obedience and faith. But if we're doing that, then let's declare his promises over our lives. Lift your offerings to the Lord. Lord, today I worship you by bringing the tithe and the offering in obedience to your word, in honor of your lordship, in gratitude for your blessings, and with faith in your promises. I declare an open heavens and overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that you will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. Be sure you're repeating it right where you are. You will cause blessings to chase me down and overtake me. You will bless me in whatever I do and wherever I go. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And you will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Once again, thank you so much for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. We certainly appreciate it, and I know that God will bless and honor it. Let's take this opportunity to give as the worship team comes back and leads us in a song. Use that moment just to worship the Lord with your giving.
Lamb that was slain.
Amen, amen. Lord, we lift our voices to sing praises unto your name because you are so worthy. We glorify you, Lord, and we invite you right now just to anoint your word, to anoint our hearts and our minds that we may be able to receive and that your word will accomplish your good purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to turn to the word of God right now, but let me tell you something. One thing I really miss is your responses during the service. I love to hear the hallelujahs, the amen, the preach it like it is. So I'm going to ask you that you would make this interactive this morning. And if the message is ministering to you, put your amens, hallelujahs, your preach it pastors right there in the comments. I miss you guys so much. It's so challenging to preach to an empty sanctuary, but I pray the message will be a blessing to you this morning. We're starting a new series titled Now for Eternity. It's based on 2 Peter chapter 3, and that speaks about the end times, and we're going to be tying in how what we're going through now relates to the end times and relates to the way that we're living right now. So new series, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, and the title of our message this morning is How Should We Now Live? How should we now live? Has the coronavirus changed the way that you live? I was reading an article recently on Politico, and it was titled, Coronavirus Has Changed the World Permanently. In the article, they interviewed various experts, and they were predicting how the experience of this pandemic will have long-lasting effects on how we live moving forward. And these experts, they hold a variety of views on what these impacts will be, but they all agree that the impacts in many ways will be permanent, they will be significant, and they will be long-lasting. Now, this global pandemic, as these experts say, have permanently changed the way that we live, whether we realize it or not. As I read that article, I was impressed with the fact that there is another global event, even far more important and significant than what we are going through, and that event ought to permanently change the way that we live now. Read with me, if you will, 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 14. The scripture says, "But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should you then live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along? On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt in flames. But we are looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives, pure and blameless in his sight." Now, I know this sounds like an ominous passage. God doesn't tell us these things to scare us. He tells us these things to prepare us. This earth and everything in it will one day be destroyed. Now, some people may be thinking, there's no way, Pastor, that that could ever happen. May I remind you that just a few months ago, most of us never imagined that the whole world could be impacted by a pandemic that has virtually shut everything down. And the suddenness of what happened and how it brought life to a screeching halt should really give us pause and cause us to think about the fact that worldwide cataclysmic events as described in Scripture are a very real possibility in our lifetime. Now, I know there'll always be doubters who think that these things could never and will never happen. You know, some people, they scoff, they make fun. Yeah, I saw this one video that they were showing on the news of another area in the States where they opened up restaurants without any social distancing, and the restaurants were crowded, and nobody was wearing a mask, and there's a guy videoing himself, and he's saying, "Look, everybody, it's fine out here. Nobody's dropping dead. Come on out." Well, nobody's going to instantly drop dead. But this virus is very deadly. And who knows, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, how many of those people will be impacted. But there's always going to be doubters. There's always going to be scoffers. And even there's scoffers right now about the virus, and there's scoffers and doubters about the second coming of Christ. People that think these things could never and will never happen. The majority of the people of this world live only for the here and now. They live only for this present world, and they give no thought to anything beyond the present. And Christians living in the midst of this unbelieving culture can very easily get pressured into the world's here and now mindset. Peter reminds believers of the great promise that God has given us. The promise that Jesus is coming again, and that the great day of the Lord's judgment will indeed come. Now, the very idea of the end of the world and the coming of Jesus was one that was ridiculed and rejected even in Peter's day, just as it is by many today. When Peter speaks of the day of the Lord, I want you to understand, when he uses the word day, he's not speaking about a 24-hour period of time as we think when we use the word day. He's referring to a period of time that involves a series of events in the end times. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets spoke of a day of God's wrath, which would bring judgment upon all wickedness and ungodliness on earth. In fact, John in the book of Revelation describes a time so terrible that everybody who is on earth at that time, from kings to common people, will try to hide in caves and among the rocks of the mountains to escape the terrible judgment that is coming upon the earth. And in Revelation 6:17, he says, "For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive?" Now, again, I want you to understand that God doesn't want anyone to suffer the horrors of that time. That's the whole reason that Jesus came to die for us. And he's not trying to scare us with these things. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you, and so is God. And as we place our faith in Jesus and live our lives for him, he promises us that we will escape the wrath that is to come. For the believer, in fact, this period is described as a time of great joy, something to look forward to, which Peter said in this passage twice. It's something that we should look forward to. Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to take us out of this world before all of these horrible things are unleashed on the world. He's going to receive us unto himself, and we will be reunited with all of those who have died before us in faith, our loved ones, our family members, even people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Peter and Paul. And we will all be reunited, and we will join together in a great celebration, a joyful celebration in heaven. That's what the Bible describes for those who are believers. But the day of the Lord is a reality that cannot be ignored. Peter describes it here in this chapter in verse 7 as a day of judgment coming upon all the ungodly of the world. And he says the earth will be destroyed. I believe that what we are seeing in this global pandemic, and in fact, I read an article that said we've had 4 global pandemics since 2000, and the coronavirus, the experts describe it as the most contagious and deadly so far in the number of lives that have been taken since the year 2000. It is, I believe this is one of the signs that Jesus said would be like labor pains increasing with frequency and intensity as we draw nearer to his return. And whether the world believes it or not, Jesus is coming. If you don't believe it, it doesn't change the fact. Jesus is coming, and the end is near. You know, most people never imagined a pandemic as we are experiencing could have happened. But guess what? It did, and we're in the midst of it. Many cannot imagine that the world will come to an end. But guess what? It will. The threat of the coronavirus, as many of us have experienced, and as the article I referenced at the beginning of our message, it has changed the way that we live. We are washing our hands compulsively and using hand sanitizer. We're wearing masks. Who would have ever imagined that we would be wearing masks wherever we go? We're avoiding gatherings. We are joining together and doing family celebrations online on Zoom, or we're doing drive-by birthday parties or graduation parades. It has changed the way that we live. Even more so, the reality that Jesus is coming again and that this world will one day be destroyed, it should change the way that we live permanently. In verse 11, Peter asks a pointed question that we each need to give serious thought to. He says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Or some versions say, how then should we live? This is a question that has already been burning in my heart when this virus so suddenly stripped away all the things that we thought were so essential for our life and for our happiness. Malls, restaurants, theaters, social gatherings, even our jobs shut down. Many are working from home. Many lost their job. Everything shut down. Now, this is temporary. I know that we will come out of this eventually, even though it has been prolonged. But one day, everything that we know on this earth will be permanently destroyed. And that thought should impact the way that we are living now. So what difference should that make in the way that we're living? Let's see what the scripture says about the coming of the day of the Lord and how it should influence our lives now. The first thought that I want us to get a hold of in our spirit is that this earthly life is temporary. It is passing. It is fleeting. It has an end date on it. And the scripture says the end will certainly come. Say that with me. The end will certainly come. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But it will certainly come in the time of God's choosing. Some will ridicule and reject the idea that the world will come to an end. Even in Peter's day, they were scoffers, as he describes earlier in this chapter in verse 4, people who did not believe, and they were saying, where's the promise of his coming? All things continue the same way as they were from the beginning of creation. They're kind of like the guy in the restaurant with no mask, people crowding, videotaping himself, saying, look, nobody has dropped dead yet. There's no danger. Come on out. You know, they willfully choose to be ignorant of the truth that God has spoken. But Peter reminds his hearers in verse 5 that unbelievers deliberately choose to ignore that the earth and everything we know was created by the power of God's word. Genesis 1 says, God said, let there be. And it was. He called the earth and all that is into existence by his word. But instead of believing what God's word says, unbelievers have touted the evolutionary theory. Now, its very name tells us it's a theory and not a fact. And yet, it is believed as a fact. Folks, it's a theory that scientists came up with. They tell you about some big bang that produced this beautiful and orderly world. Well, I don't know about you, but any explosion I've seen does not create beauty and order. It creates destruction and chaos. And not only so, but this big bang theory that scientists have purported, it defies science. Because the theory of physics, the law of physics says that energy does not produce matter. Matter produces energy. But this Big Bang says that energy suddenly exploded and all of a sudden there was matter. There was the world and everything that is in it. They are contradicting the very law of physics in order to believe their theory of how the world came about. You see, mankind chooses to believe a theory and deliberately chooses to reject the fact that God created the heavens and the earth by the power of his word. Peter goes on to tell us that mankind also deliberately chooses to forget that the world was once destroyed by a flood at the word of the Lord. Unbelievers don't believe that the world could ever come to an end. But they forget that in time past, the flood covered the whole earth. Everything was destroyed. Only Noah and his family and the animals that God commanded him to take on board the ark were saved. In an interview on ABC News with Christiane Amanpour, an archaeologist, a leading archaeologist in the world by the name of Robert Ballard, discussed that he believes there is scientific proof in the area of the Black Sea that validates the claims of the flood of Noah's day. This is a scientist saying there is scientific proof that the flood happened. And you know what? Noah, the Bible says, preached for 120 years while he was building the ark. That's how long it took him, because there were no, you know, power saws or drills. He was doing it all by hand, and it was huge to hold all those animals. And so it took him 120 years. People lived a lot longer back then. It took him 120 years to build the ark. And the whole time he was building it, he was preaching, the Bible says. He was telling people, the end is coming. There's a flood coming. You need to get right with God, etc., etc. But they mocked him. The Bible says they called him crazy until the waters began to rise. Then I bet you they were knocking on the closed door of the ark, trying to get in. But Peter says, by the same word of God that created the heavens and the earth, by the same word of God that declared that the flood would come upon the earth, by that same word, the present heavens and earth will one day be destroyed in judgment because of the exceeding sinfulness of mankind. The bottom line is this: God said it will happen, and it will happen. The earth and everything in it that we know will one day be destroyed. It will certainly happen. God is not telling us these things to scare us. He's telling us these things to prepare us. So this message isn't intended to strike fear in anyone's heart. It is God's grace giving us an opportunity to escape what is coming upon this earth by placing our faith in Jesus and repenting of our sins and living for Him. And if you have not yet placed your faith in Him, repented of your sins, and received Him as your Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of this message. So please stay tuned with us. So the end will certainly come, but the Bible also tells us in this passage, the end will suddenly come. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly, say that word, unexpectedly, as a thief. Have you ever noticed a thief doesn't call ahead to let you know he's coming? He comes unexpectedly, and he catches the inhabitants of the house by surprise. In the same way, the return of Christ and the coming judgment will catch the unbelieving world by surprise. They will be unprepared. Not because God hasn't declared and preachers are not saying that God is coming, but the world is ignoring it. It's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of different opinions out there and everything, but, you know, there was knowledge back from January of this spread of this virus back in China. But certain countries did not take it seriously. They didn't get prepared. And as a result of that, they had shortages on PPE and shortages on medications and other supplies that were needed. And as a result, people unnecessarily got infected, some healthcare workers, etc. And some people have lost their lives. In the same way, the message has been going forth. Jesus is coming. The end is near. And people are like, they choose to ignore it. And so one day it will catch them unexpectedly. But Paul says believers do not have to fear this judgment coming upon them suddenly and catching them by surprise. In 1 Thessalonians 5:4, the Apostle Paul writes, but you, brothers and sisters, he's talking to the church, he's talking to believers. He says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You know why? Because we as believers, we've got the word of God. We listen to preachers. We know that the end is coming. We know the judgment that awaits the world. We even know the signs of his coming. He's even given us signs to tell us of the nearness of his coming. So we need to be prepared so that we can be counted worthy. This is what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, so that we can be counted worthy to escape the judgment that will come upon the earth. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, repented of your sins, and you're living for him, then he says you're going to escape all of these horrible things that are going to come upon the earth. Do you hear that? You don't have to suffer the time of horrible judgment that is being described as coming upon the earth in the end time. There is a way of escape. It is through faith in Jesus Christ and living a life prepared for his return. Tragically, most of the world will be caught by surprise. They will be caught unprepared and will endure this terrible time of judgment. That's why, believers, we need to do everything we can to warn them, to pray for them, to preach to them the good news of Jesus Christ and how they can be forgiven, how they can be saved. But you know, most people act as if they're going to live forever. But we need to remember, this earthly life is temporary. The earth and everything in it is certainly and suddenly one day going to pass away. The second thing I want us to see from this passage of scripture is that eternity is forever. Simple truth, isn't it? But sometimes we don't stop to think about it. Every person has an everlasting soul. Every human being has a soul that will continue to exist throughout the remainder of eternity in one of two very different eternal destination. Some of you might remember the story, but Jesus told a story of two men who died in Luke 16:19-31. One was a rich man who had lived a life of selfishness and unbelief. The other was a beggar named Lazarus. And the word Lazarus means God is my help, an indicator that he was one who believed in the Lord and had faith in him. So his name was an indication of his spiritual life. He was a man of faith. And Jesus said the rich man died and he went to a place of eternal torment, a place of flames and suffering. But when Lazarus, the man of faith, died, he was escorted by angels into his eternal reward in God's presence. So what am I saying? Jesus and the Bible presents the reality of two very real eternal destinations, heaven and hell. The biblical descriptions of hell are so horrendous that some might question, how could a loving God ever commit anyone to hell? Well, the Bible tells us that God never created hell for humans. It was created for Satan and his demons when Satan, who was once an angel in heaven, rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven and became the arch enemy of God, along with the angels that he led in his rebellion, who we now refer to as demons. They are the ones for whom God created hell. And God gave his own son on the cross so that no human being would ever have to spend an eternity in hell. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God doesn't want anyone to perish. That's the reason he sent Jesus, to take our place, to take our punishment on the cross, so that as we place our faith in him and repent of our sins, we might be forgiven and we might be saved from the judgment that is to come. Peter reminds us that the only reason that God is delaying the return of Christ and the judgment that is to come is because of his mercy. He is being patient with mankind because he's not wanting anybody to perish, but that everyone would come to repentance through Jesus Christ. God is holding back the judgment this world deserves because he's giving everyone an opportunity of grace that they might be saved. He's giving you, if you're listening today and you've not yet placed your faith in Christ, he's giving you an opportunity of grace before it is too late. He's giving our loved ones, he's giving our friends, he's giving our neighbors the opportunity of grace to come to Christ so that we can escape this horrible judgment to come and we can spend eternity together with him in heaven. I read an article by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Many of you have probably have heard of Billy Graham. He was a great man of God and a wonderful evangelist. And in this article, it said that Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else in Scripture. You know, when we picture Jesus, we picture love, we picture mercy, we picture grace. But that's only one side of who God is. He is also just and he's holy. And Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else. The article went on to say, did he say this simply to scare us? The reality of hell should frighten us, the article said, because not one word in the Bible about hell would ever make you want to go there. Not if you take it seriously. The author went on to say, but Jesus didn't talk about hell just to scare us. He talked about it instead because he wanted us to know that God has provided a way of escape. Listen, the article said, God doesn't want you to be separated from him forever. He loves you and he wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. Unlike hell, heaven is a place of joy and peace and freedom from all the fears and pains of this world. Who wouldn't want to go there? Hallelujah. Heaven is a wonderful place. Who wouldn't want to go there? But here in 2 Peter, and Paul also emphasizes this, we need to live now with an eternal perspective if we want to go to heaven. Being saved and claiming heaven as our eternal destination is not determined by a single decision to pray a prayer and ask God to forgive us. That's how we're saved, yes, by grace through faith. But Jesus described our preparation for heaven as a path, a road, or a lifestyle. So he's telling us it's not a one-day momentary decision, but it's a lifestyle. It begins with a faith decision to repent of our sins and receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. But that is the beginning of a lifelong journey of learning to love him and to live for him. In Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. He also talked about a wide path and an easy road that many take that leads to destruction. But in these two verses, he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, when you talk about a road, you're talking about a journey. You're talking about a lifestyle. And we need to choose the narrow gate. And we need to choose the narrow road. That's the way of following Jesus. Because that road leads to life. The wide road, the easy road, where you can do whatever you want, live however you want, Jesus says that road leads to destruction. So being prepared for eternity is a lifelong journey. It's choosing to live every day on the right path following Jesus. The path of faith, the path of obedience to Christ. Then we will be prepared at any time that Christ should return to take us out of this world that we might escape the judgment to come and spend eternal life together with Christ in heaven. You know, the coronavirus came upon us suddenly in that many people, even political leaders, had news way back, we're being told, in January of what was happening in China. But some didn't believe that it could happen here. Some didn't take it seriously. Some thought it couldn't be all that bad. And so in many ways, it caught us unprepared. And that lack of preparedness certainly resulted in more people suffering and some even dying. There is coming a much more terrible pandemic, if you want to call it such, on this earth. A pandemic of judgment that will make the coronavirus look like a minor inconvenience in comparison. Let's not make the same mistake that many made thinking, oh, the coronavirus won't come here. Oh, it can't happen here. This is the United States. Oh, it's not real. Oh, it's fake news. It can't happen to us. And thereby allowing it to catch us unprepared. God is giving us an opportunity of grace now. I believe God is working even in this coronavirus pandemic to get the world's attention, to get our attention, to call us unto himself, to cause us to reevaluate our lives and see how quickly things can change and can be stripped away so that we will live for what is eternal. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to live with him in eternity. But we have all sinned, and sin separates us from God and excludes us from heaven, which is a place where no sin can enter. This is the reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived a sinless life, and he gave his life as a sacrifice. He went to the cross in our place and took the punishment that we deserve, so that when we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we turn away from the way that we have been living, a life without faith, a life without obedience, a life without regard to God. We turn away from that life and we say, I recognize that I've been on the wrong road. I've been on the wide and easy road that leads to destruction. I don't want to be on that road anymore. And we turn to God in faith and in repentance. And we say, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I surrender my life to you. Come and live inside of me and help me to live from this day forward for you. When we do that, we are born again, which means we're made spiritually alive. We become a child of God, a son or daughter of God. We are brought into right relationship with God. And then, as we live each day in faith with him, we can claim heaven as our home. If you have not yet repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ as your Savior, or if you're uncertain that when your end comes or the end comes, that heaven would be your home, God invites you now to repent and place your faith in Christ. And if you want to do that now, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. It's not my words. My words are not special, but it is your heart in sincerity, repentant of your sins and placing your faith in Christ. And God is going to hear you. And at the moment you pray this prayer, God is going to forgive you and you will be born again. You will be saved. You will become a child of God. So I'm going to pray the prayer. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then I'm going to stop in between each segment of the prayer so that you can pray it right where you are. So would you repeat this prayer with me from your heart? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you loved me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent of my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I turn to you in faith. I invite you to come and live inside of me. I surrender my life to you. I give you control. Help me from this day forward to live a life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God has done exactly what you asked him to do. You have been forgiven. You have a clean slate. You are now a child of God, and heaven is your eternal destiny. But that prayer is just the beginning. of walking on that road Jesus described, that narrow road, that road of faith, that road of obedience. It's a journey. Following Christ is a journey. And I want to briefly share with you a couple of steps in helping you to continue walking in that journey. But before I do, if you prayed that prayer, write in the comments right now. I'm going to ask you to just write, "I prayed." If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, in the comments, if you would just put, "I prayed." Why? Because we want to celebrate with you, but also I want to send you a link. And when I send that link, all we want is for you to click on that link and fill in your name and your email address, because we have a free electronic book that we want to send you. It's just a small booklet, but it helps you to know the next steps that you need to take in order to develop this lifelong walk of following Jesus. We want to give that to you free of charge. So just put in the comments right now, "I prayed," so that we can get that information to you. But very quickly, your next steps are this. You just entered into a relationship with God. And a relationship needs to grow like any relationship. How do we grow in our relationship with God? First, by talking to God every single day. That's called prayer. And you don't need any special words. You can talk to God just like you would to a friend. And every single day, just thank him for his blessings, welcome him into your life, and whatever you have need of, or whatever you may be struggling with in your journey that you know might not be pleasing to God and you need his help to change, just bring those things to him. Talk to him about those things and ask him to help you in those areas, to strengthen you and to meet your needs. Talk to him every single day. Secondly, let him talk to you. How does he talk to us? Well, one of the primary ways he talks to us is through the Bible, his word. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to download the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet. And it's free. Just download it. And I encourage you to start reading in 1 John. 1 John is a small book in the Bible. It's only 5 chapters long, but it tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Just read a few verses every day. And before you read, ask God to help you to understand what he's saying and to know what he wants from you in your life, in the truth that you are reading every single day. And then thirdly, get involved in a local church. We're not yet able to meet because of the restrictions due to the coronavirus, not allowing meetings of 10 or more. So we're not able to meet in person yet. But until then, I encourage you to continue to tune into our live stream, just like you're doing this morning. We live stream every Sunday morning at 11, also tonight at 6:30, and Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Tune in as much as you are able so that you can continue to grow in your faith and in your knowledge and understanding of God. And then once churches are open back up again, I encourage you, if you're in the South Florida area, we encourage you to come and join us here. We can't wait to meet you. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then I encourage you to find a local assembly of God in the area where you are. Amen. We congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. Finally, for those who have already prayed and placed our faith in Jesus, I want to ask you, are you sure that you're walking on the right path, the straight and narrow path that leads to life? Maybe there are some things that you feel the conviction of the Lord that you need to surrender. You need to turn them over to him. You need to stop them. Or maybe there's some things you know God needs to change in your life. Maybe you need to recommit your life to loving and serving him with your whole heart like you once did, and you know you've kind of grown cold. And for those of us who are walking on the right path, God is calling us to do everything in our power to share the gospel and bring the good news of how they can be forgiven, how they can receive new life in Christ, that they too might be saved and escape the judgment to come. So if you're there, you're a believer, and any of these things apply to you, maybe there's areas of your life you need to surrender to the Lord, areas that you need him to change in you, or maybe your heart has just kind of cooled off or you become complacent and you need to recommit yourself to love and serve him with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with all your strength. Or if you're already doing that, then let's commit ourselves to do everything that we can to spread the good news of Jesus, even during this time, to spread the good news of Jesus so that others can also come to know him and find life in him. Would you pray with me? And you know where God is dealing with you, so you pray in that vein right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every believer that is listening this morning, that has had an attentive heart and spirit, Lord God, wanting to hear your word and wanting you to work in their life. I pray for some that may be struggling in areas of their life, Lord God, and they know there's some things in their life that just may not be pleasing to you, Lord God. Father, I pray that right now they would just surrender those things to you, Lord God, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would bring change in their lives in those areas, Lord God. Father, I pray for those who once served you with passion, Lord God, and dedication and faithfulness, and somewhere along the line they've fallen away. Their hearts have become cold, or they've become complacent, or maybe just a little lackadaisical in their journey with you, Lord God. Father, this morning I pray that as we come before you, we would recommit our lives to you, Lord God, to loving you and living for you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord God. And Father, I pray for all of us who have received Jesus and are loving and living for him. I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, even during these challenging times, to be gospel witnesses, Lord God, to be evangelists, to go and share the good news wherever we are, Lord God, whether we're at the grocery store, whether we're in a doctor's office, Lord God, whether it's online or by phone, or however it might be, Lord God. Father, lead us and guide us and help us, Lord God, to see creative ways to be able to share the good news of Jesus. This is such an opportune moment when people are asking questions about life and eternity. Let us take full advantage of this moment of time, Lord God, in order to spread the good news of Jesus, that others may know the life and hope that we have found in you. Father, I thank you for doing this in our hearts and our lives today. I pray your blessing upon every person that tuned in this morning. I pray that you would just encourage their hearts, that you would strengthen them in their inner man, and that you would cover them with your protection, and may your blessings overflow their life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And everybody said amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I thank our worship team and our tech team, and I thank every one of you for tuning in this morning. We love you. Stay safe, and be sure to tune back in with us tonight at 6:30. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.